I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who holds space for any earthling as they reunite body and soul. I'm a bridge for relationships between all species so that the heart bond becomes stronger, deeper, and more loving. I serve in the roles of animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support all earthlings in their recovery from past trauma. I'm certified as a canine massage therapist and Reiki master teacher. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. You all have no idea the number of times that the universe comes to my rescue, truly. And honestly, I'm having my own human experience full of questions, occasional angst, numerous triumphs, even the small baby ones, just like you all are having. This means I'm also having times of uncertainty and joy and everything in between. I first noticed this saving my A double asterisk when I had a radio show back in the day, and I would answer questions from the Facebook chat room group during the show. This was way different than a real-time conversation and people calling into the show because there was the lag between the question and answer in the chat room. So I'd have to step much further out on the energetic limb I felt was there in order to stitch together a somewhat cogent and hopefully interesting show with just me talking, other than all the voices inside my head, of course. It was really good practice, though, for trusting what I couldn't see or hear or feel via my external sensory system that we all have, because I was having to rely much more on my internal sensory system, which we also all have. I was having to take many, as in small, M-I-N-I, leaps of faith based on that internal system, and it was such good training that it is now my go-to, this internal sensory system. I count on that much more than my external system, so that when I hear a human client say, "No, that's not accurate," and I feel the pull of energy saying, "Oh yeah, that's totally accurate," I can more or less gently push back on what is real, air quotes, in terms of energy. And I say what's real because as we're in human experience, we're also still under the muting effects, if you will, of illusion of human beingness, and we've created a good-sized belief system that filters out quite a bit of what we think we don't want in our experience. Thus, the death, transition, and rebirth cycle that comes from Earth herself, and the first part of that cycle being death. Because we think it starts with life, right? And to a certain extent with death, we think, well, it's all over now, and that we transition, we make our way toward death. In real life, it's the reverse. And not only that, but it's more of a Mobius strip of maybe not knowing which stage is beginning and which stage is ending, which is, frankly, at this point in my life, I think situation normal. And I feel good about that. The other times that the universe comes to my rescue is during real-time client sessions, because honestly, there is just no way that I could ever come up with the information that I do during a client session from multiple dimensions without the universe supporting me all the way. I don't have any clue in human experience whether someone has a great Aunt Gertrude who's going to stick their head through the window of energy that my client is open. And yet I always give people a heads up about that because it's entirely possible. I don't have any clue in human experience how a client's house is designed, yet I will see those pictures in my head and feel the energy in those rooms, courtesy of the universe. I also don't have any clue in human experience about the relationship nuances among the family members of my client's household, besides what I may be told initially, which is usually something like, "Fido has become much more reactive lately. Can you tell him to stop this?" And honestly, I don't doubt the sincerity of the guardian's request to make not only Fido, but their home a more peaceful place, and at the same time, like a broken clock, two things can be true at the same time. A human can want an unpleasant experience to stop, Fido's reactivity, and also not understand their involvement in this reactivity. Fido will definitely step forward because dog especially doesn't like being yelled at. Can you blame them? And because Fido also really doesn't like his own reactivity. Because this is a partnership deal, are living with sentient beings of a different species, animals don't have this otherworldly belief system and or human-centric belief system. They flow in and out of other dimensions, including past lives and future ones. They're not concerned with death per se, nor rebirth, because to them, all of this death, transition, and rebirth cycle is part of the game as it works in concert with Soul Path. Their animal experience, which we also share with them, is of this world, yet not in or on this world. They know that even the words that we put to this cycle, this flow of stages of experience on Earth, can be misleading, as I said, because we look at it backward in a sense. We think that it starts with life as being incarnated here on Earth in physical form, when that could be anywhere on this Mobius strip of energy. It could be at the transition point. It could be at the rebirth point. And for reference, think of a Mobius strip perhaps as a figure eight or an infinity symbol in motion. So this infinity symbol in motion is in 3D and HD. And if you were to uncross the figure eight, if you were to like unwind it, it would be an oval. And pulling on the corners of it might make it a rectangle, right? By definition, the Mobius strip is a one-sided surface that is constructed from a rectangle by holding one end fixed, rotating the opposite end through 180 degrees, and joining it to the first end. Except, by rotating it through the 180 degrees, you now have more than one surface. A simpler version, courtesy of the universe, here they come to save our you-know-whats, is the construction paper chains kids used to make in school. I don't even know if they still do that, where one end is twisted before gluing or stapling it to the other end. That's a good visual, I hope. When you have this Mobius strip in your hands, and as you rotate it around your fingertips like a rubber band, you can see how the various sides come up from time to time. We can thank the German mathematician August Mobius with the umlaut O and two dots above the letter O in his last name, who created this in 1868. From the article link in Scientific American, quote, "The figurative and narrative implications of the Mobius strip are rich. When you try to go forward, you ring sideways. When you try to circle in, you find yourself outside. It's an apt allegory for losing control. The continuum of crossing a Mobius strip is emblematic of how we experience time in a non-linear way." This non-linear way of experiencing time, I would substitute energy, clashes with our linear and preferred way of thinking and processing people, places, and things/situations in human experience. Because we love it when it happens in a linear fashion. Nothing makes our little control freak hearts beat faster than to perceive we're actually in charge and we know what's coming. We like that. No, scratch that. We love that. Because it appeals to our prey biological side and it makes us feel comfortable and safe and happy. And wouldn't that be grand if only Earth's design didn't have other things in mind? Like death and transition. Heck, even the rebirth part can feel painful because we're averse to change. It shakes up our status quo of feeling safe. Sure, we like adventure sometimes and in certain quantities, and only what we want and not what we think we don't want, right? I'm hearing that it's like a fairy tale, emphasis on the imaginary aspects of stories we tell ourselves of Goldilocks. Only one of the bowls of porridge was just right, the other two being opposite ends of each other and not what we think we want. There is an analogy about this whole cycle on Earth that I think can be traced to the Big Bang Theory, not the sitcom, but the actual kablam, birth of our universe itself. There was a death of other star systems that came before. Simply put, it says, the universe as we know it started with an infinitely hot 10 billion degrees Fahrenheit and dense single point, that was unable to remain so condensed. So it inflated, which is a pretty name for blew up, and stretched, first at unimaginable speeds, 1 times 10 to the negative 30 seconds, which is really fast, and then at a more measurable rate over the next 13.7 billion years to the still expanding cosmos that we know today. So even with the beginning of the soup du jour particles that then began to form solar systems around a star, other planets around those stars, etc., there was a death of what was before. This really super hot point of condensed energy, having outgrown itself and sensing perhaps a bigger purpose, it's not unlike seeds that we plant this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere. It dismantled itself so that it could become something more. Because in order for plants to grow from seeds, there first must be the death of what's identified as a seed, which, of course, gets to be like the chicken and the egg, which came first, death or life. If we look at planet Earth, there was death first in her birth, just like there is with the seed. Whatever was in existence and or living first needed to die to make way for the middle phase of transition, whose meaning is different than how I normally use it, which is shifting out of physical form as in death. The quote from Chief Seattle being, "There is no death, only a change of worlds," and I'm likely paraphrasing. This midway point, if we want to use human experience speak for a hot second, can really begin even before the death of what is now or what's soon to be. In order for death to be brought about, just like the Big Bang Theory, and especially in your life, dear human, there will usually be new energy contained in the plan of death. It could be something like, "Oh, I wish I had a different job," or "I'm not really happy in this relationship," etc. And to be clear, this isn't about rebirth. We don't get to just pass go and collect our 200 cubits of rebirth dollars, which we're always super keen to know, right? This rebirth. What's going to happen? Where will I end up if I quit my job? Will I ever find a relationship that suits me? All of those questions are premature in the death to transition phase, and frankly, they serve no purpose. They're all about the security blanket of human experience that we long to drag with us like Linus, no matter where we go. We really dislike the death and transition phases, even as they flow in and out of each other, because one, we want clarity about what's going to happen, and two, it's the not knowing that fills us, we think, with such dread. In truth, though, if you celebrate the endings, the deaths of changes and shifts in your life as you can, that calls forth, I'm hearing, pinpoints of light belonging to galaxies not yet born, and which is so very exciting. Because this human experience middle phase, the transition phase, is where the questions of endings started the whole thing. The job and the relationship questions. One is already starting to welcome death because what is now doesn't feel good or right. It doesn't resonate with your soul. You are already ushering in the ending of what was and getting ready to mix with what will be. And you talk about your super nitrogen saturated soil because what was is behind and what will be isn't yet. Everything is up for grabs, and skating on the old Mobius strip of energy, it's what's best, as many times as you need to. And that's not to say that the rebirth takes care of itself completely. Remember, this is energy we're talking about, not these nice little neat boxes of phases and steps. It's how you follow the lead of an ending that helps to create the form of the transition. Will you fight tooth and nail and resist an ending? You certainly could, and pretty much guaranteed it won't change a dang thing if something or someone is meant to be for you in this lifetime. Once you have celebrated the ending, though, oh, I can't imagine how I hung on for so long at that job, or I'm so much happier being by myself for a change. It is these thoughts and emotions that fire up the grill of transition so that whatever you started creating way back before the ending with random thoughts and desires can come closer to you. so that you can feel the difference in time and space? Might you have small endings in the midst of transition? Absolutely. It doesn't mean you're going backward or getting punished. The more you can state what's going on in clear terms, the more you'll see all the interconnected dots in the whole picture. And when the rebirth of whatever was part of the ending and transition comes into view, allow yourself, please, to be very, very surprised. Because chances are you're going to be. What if rather than a new job, you've birthed a whole new career? What if rather than a new relationship with another human, you've birthed a new relationship within and of yourself for the very first time in your life? Remember, you are life incarnate already, and you were before conception in the womb of your mother's body and her mother before her. It's not life that matters so much, it's how we move through the wash, rinse, and spin cycle that matters more. It's how we quietly mourn and at the same time celebrate a change in job or career. It's how we can't quite catch our breath at the thought of not having a certain someone in our life and worrying if we'll end up alone. And without a doubt, it's holding space for the continual and consistent rebirth that the universe has in store for you if you will just float above this death, transition, and rebirth cycle. Not exactly without a care in the world, rather more with the trust and knowing that everything is going to be just fine. And at least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. To schedule online, go to lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, X Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. The episodes of this podcast are available on my YouTube channel, complete with subtitles. You'll find that link in my podcast footer, and be sure to subscribe. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.